He was there, hurling his elbow through her side window, sending a shower of safety glass into her lap. A massive scale-covered arm burst through her window, groping half-blind, finding her neck. She threw the car in reverse, but her attacker had latched onto her throat, squeezing with unimaginable force. She turned her head in an attempt to escape his grasp, and suddenly she was staring at his face. Three dark stripes, like fingernail scratches, had torn through his face makeup to reveal the tattoos beneath. His eyes were wild and ruthless.
"I should have killed you 10 years ago, he growled. "The night I killed your mother."
As his words registered, Catherine was seized by a horrifying memory. That feral look in his eyes. She had seen it before.
"It's him," she would have screamed, had it not been for the vice-like grip around her neck.
She smashed her foot onto the accelerator, and the car lurched backward, almost snapping her neck as he was dragged beside her car. The Volvo careened up an inclined median, and Catherine could feel her neck about to give way beneath his weight. Suddenly, tree branches were scraping the side of her car, slapping through the side windows, and the weight was gone. The car burst through the evergreens and out into the upper parking lot, where Catherine slammed on the brakes. Below her, the half-naked man clambered to his feet, staring into her headlights. With a terrifying calm, he raised a menacing scale-covered arm and pointed directly at her. Catherine's blood coursed with raw fear and hatred as she spun the wheel and hit the gas. Seconds later, she was fishtailing out onto Silver Hill Road. Chapter 48. In the heat of the moment, Capitol Police Officer Nunez had seen no option but to help the Capitol architect and Robert Langdon escape. Now, however, back in the basement police headquarters, Nunez could see the storm clouds gathering fast. Chief Trent Anderson was holding an ice pack to his head while another officer was tending to Sato's bruises. Both of them were standing with the video surveillance team, reviewing digital playback files in an attempt to locate Langdon and Bellamy.
"Check the playback on every hallway and exit," Sato demanded. "I want to know where they went."
Nunez felt ill as he looked on. He knew it would only be a matter of minutes before they found the right video clip and learned the truth. I helped them escape. Making matters worse was the arrival of a 4-man CIA field team that was now staging nearby, prepping to go after Langdon and Bellamy. These guys looked nothing like the Capitol Police. These guys were dead serious soldiers, black camouflage, night vision, futuristic-looking handguns. Nunez felt like he would throw up. Making up his mind, he motioned discreetly to Chief Anderson.
"A word, Chief?"
"What is it?"
Anderson followed Nunez into the hall.
"Chief, I made a bad mistake," Nunez said, breaking a sweat. "I'm sorry, and I'm resigning."
"You'll fire me in a few minutes anyway."
"I beg your pardon?"
Nunez swallowed hard.
"Earlier, I saw Langdon and Architect Bellamy in the visitor center on their way out of the building."
"What?"
Anderson bellowed.
"Why didn't you say something?"
"The architect told me not to say a word."
"You work for me, goddammit."
Anderson's voice echoed down the corridor.
"Bellamy smashed my head into a wall, for Christ's sake."
Nunez handed Anderson the key that the architect had given him.
"What's this?"
Anderson demanded.
"A key to the new tunnel under Independence Avenue. Architect Bellamy had it. That's how they escaped."
Anderson stared down at the key, speechless. Sato poked her head out into the hallway, eyes probing.
"What's going on out here?"
Nunez felt himself go pale. Anderson was still holding the key, and Sato clearly had seen it. As the hideous little woman drew near, Nunez improvised as best he could, hoping to protect his chief.
"I found a key on the floor in the sub-basement. I was just asking Chief Anderson if he knew what it might go to."
Sato arrived, eyeing the key.
"And does the chief know?"
Nunez glanced up at Anderson, who was clearly weighing all his options before speaking. Finally, the chief shook his head.
"Not offhand. I'd have to check the—"
"Don't bother,"
Sato said.
"This key unlocks a tunnel off the visitor center."
"Really?"
Anderson said.
"How do you know that?"
"We just found the surveillance clip. Officer Nunez here helped Langdon and Bellamy escape and then relocked that tunnel door behind them. Bellamy gave Nunez that key."
Anderson turned to Nunez with a flare of anger.
Is this true?
Nunez nodded vigorously, doing his best to play along.
I'm sorry, sir. The architect told me not to tell a soul.
I don't give a damn what the architect told you, Anderson yelled. I expect...
Shut up, Trent,
Sato snapped.
You're both lousy liars. Save it for your CIA inquisition.
She snatched the architect's tunnel key from Anderson.
You're done here.
Chapter 49. Robert Langdon hung up his cell phone, feeling increasingly worried. Catherine's not answering her cell. Catherine had promised to call him as soon as she was safely out of the lab and on her way to meet him here, but she had never done so. Bellamy sat beside Langdon at the reading room desk. He, too, had just made a call, his to an individual he claimed could offer them sanctuary, a safe place to hide. Unfortunately, this person was not answering either, and so Bellamy had left an urgent message, telling him to call Langdon's cell phone right away.
I'll keep trying, he said to Langdon, but for the moment we're on our own, and we need to discuss a plan for this pyramid.
The pyramid. For Langdon, the spectacular backdrop of the reading room had all but disappeared, his world constricting now to include only what was directly in front of him. A stone pyramid, a sealed package containing a capstone, and an elegant African-American man who had materialized out of the darkness and rescued him from the certainty of a CIA interrogation. Langdon had expected a modicum of sanity from the architect of the Capitol, but now it seemed Warren Bellamy was no more rational than the madman claiming Peter was in purgatory. Bellamy was insisting this stone pyramid was, in fact, the Masonic pyramid of legend. An ancient map that guides us to powerful wisdom?
Mr. Bellamy, Langdon said politely, this idea that there exists some kind of ancient knowledge that can imbue men with great power, I simply can't take it seriously.
Bellamy's eyes looked both disappointed and earnest, making Langdon's skepticism all the more awkward.
Yes, Professor, I had imagined you might feel this way. But I suppose I should not be surprised. You are an outsider looking in. There exist certain Masonic realities that you will perceive as myth because you are not properly initiated and prepared to understand them.
Now Langdon felt patronized. I wasn't a member of Odysseus's crew, but I'm certain the Cyclops is a myth. Mr. Bellamy, even if the legend is true, this pyramid cannot possibly be the Masonic pyramid.
No.
Bellamy ran a finger across the Masonic cipher on the stone.
It looks to me like it fits the description perfectly. A stone pyramid with a shining metal capstone, which, according to Sato's X-ray,